Hello and welcome to this week's sermon recording from Earlscombe Baptist Church. Hope it's helpful to you. We're carrying on our series on Philippians. If you've only got any comments, feedbacks, thoughts, ideas, then do get in contact with us via the Facebook page, which is Earlscombe Baptist, and let us know what you think. Anyway, hope this sermon on worry and getting peace and perspective is really helpful to you.
Just to remind you, for those of you who haven't been around for the last series, we've been looking at Philippians and we're going to be carrying on with that this morning. And these are the things we've been looking at so far. You'll be really proud of me, guys. I didn't repack the dishwasher yesterday. Thank you very much. Genuinely. And it was a travesty. How I did it. There was the slow cooker in there about to cross the wine glass. And I honestly thought, no, I've learned something from doing this series. We don't have to be a control freak. We can just let it go. So you'll be proud of it. Anyway, for the first time. Deliberately packing it awfully, so I read it on purpose. We looked at gratitude, which was bottom left, and trying to learn how to demonstrate and speak about our gratitude. You can't just feel grateful. We need to tell people that we're grateful. So hopefully we've been building that into some of the things that we do. Chelsea, I will get round to buying you flowers at some point. So haven't learned about that one quite so much with the control freaks going on. We've thought a lot about humility, and that humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's not beating yourself up. It's not telling yourself you're worthless. Humility is thinking of yourself less. That's what C.S. Lewis said. It's just putting other people first. It's just thinking about others instead of always thinking about yourself. And then last week we looked at suffering and when we are the blue face. How do we cope with suffering in our life? And the line last week was that going through suffering is inevitable, but learning from it and growing in it isn't inevitable. That we all go through rubbish times, but we still get a chance and a choice to go through that with our back straight and our head held high and our hands clean. And we can go through that suffering and learn and grow in it, even though that all of us go through rubbish times. Anyway, so that's been the series on Philippians. And we've got another one this morning, which hopefully is going to be helpful, which is going to be on peace. That's where my symbol for peace, bottom right. Favourite TV show this week? I don't watch a lot of TV, but basically it's just Bake Off and Match the Day. But I found a new one, which I'm very excited about. Who has seen 4-year-olds in an old people's home? Isn't it brilliant?
I wasn't going to have that.
It's just fantastic. For those of you who haven't seen it, I'll explain the premise. They go to an old people's home, and then they fill it full of 4-year-olds and preschoolers and see what happens. And it's amazing. And so they put all of these 4-year-olds and preschoolers into the old people's home, and they see how it helps the kids develop and how it helps the elderly people kind of fight the effects of ageing. And it is amazing, the interactions of these guys. And it has a really positive impact, both on the kids and on the... Anyway, I can highly recommend watching it. And for me, I was watching it and I found it quite sad when they did the interviews with the elderly residents of this care home. And the saddest moment for me when I was watching this show, and those of you who have seen it might remember, they were talking to this elderly lady and they were doing some tests on her. And they asked her the question, "Are you worried something bad is going to happen?" And straight away this woman was like, "Yeah, I'm worried something bad is going to happen." And it made me, because I thought, you are in a home system designed to eliminate risk. I mean, literally everything about the place that you live in is designed to prevent bad things happening. Everything. The food you eat, the people that you meet, the carers that are there. Every single person in your life is designed to stop bad things happening to you, and you are still worried about it. Isn't that tragic? One of my favourite preachers is called Andy Stanley. He told a story that I listened to this week. He once sat down with a billionaire, and that's a billionaire with a B, a billionaire, and his wife. And so this couple are worth $1 billion, a billion with a B. That is a lot of money. I don't know if I can emphasise this enough. That is £1,000,000,000. And you'll never guess what this couple said they were worried about. Money, yeah, unbelievable. A billion with a B. And they were worried about money. Oh, they were like, oh, you never know when you might get ill. £1,000,000,000. And what I've learned from this week, watching 4-year-olds in old people's home and listening to Andy's stories about billionaires with a B who are worried about money, is that worry has got very little to do with your circumstances. Very little to do with your circumstances. Whether or not you are in a home that is literally designed to prevent bad things happening to you, or whether you are a billionaire who has £1,000,000,000, then worry can still follow you around. Last week, I appreciate there are sometimes we go through situations that are genuinely out of the blue and we're going to get worried about them for a short period of time. We are going to go through suffering. That's last week's talk about how we deal with suffering. What I'm talking about is when we are always worried about something. When we're always hit up about it. Because worry's got very little to do with our circumstances. And I'm no psychologist, but I've come up with this little cycle of what I think happens. Well, it's what happens when I worry. And we start by feeling overwhelmed. And then, because we're overwhelmed, we keep thinking about the things we don't have. And then when we realise all the things we don't have, then we start worrying. And then when we worry, we try to control everything around us. So we're like, oh, if only I make this happen, and I control that person, and I do that. And then we start to control people, and then we realise that we're overwhelmed because we're trying to control too many people. And then we focus on what we lack again. Anyone relate to any of this? Or is this just me? We've done this. We've gone through this cycle of we're overwhelmed, we focus on what we lack, and we worry, and then we control everything, or try to, and we realise we can't control everything, and etc., etc. Fortunately, Paul, in this passage that Alan just read to us, I think offers us a better way to get out of this cycle of worry, out of this kind of cycle. And Cindy, if we can have the next one, this is my cycle. The passage Alan read to us started with this. It said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." The top thing is that we feel love. Why do we rejoice in the Lord? Because he's a God of love and because he loves us. Before Jesus did anything of note on earth, the heavens tore open and God said to him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." When God created the heavens and the earth, he saw that it was good before anything happened. If we want to get out of this worry cycle that eats us up inside and doesn't let us sleep, if we want to get out of that, then we need to start with the fundamental truth that you are loved as you are before you do anything. Because God sung over you when you were in the womb. That exactly as you are, sitting right here before you do anything or say anything or think it, God loves you. "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." Augustine puts it this way, "God loves each of us as though there were only one of us." If we want to beat this worry cycle, then I think we need to start with that truth, that God loves you exactly as you are before you do anything. And the wonderful thing about that truth, once we understand that we are loved by a God whose love is too wide and high and deep to ever imagine, once we understand that that love is that God loves you exactly as you are as you sit here this morning, then what else can we do? But we're grateful, aren't we? Because we realise that we're loved. So there's loads of things to be grateful for. All of the time. Chip and I, we've got a habit of praying each night, and the first thing we do is we say thank you to God for the things that have happened that day that we're grateful for. And we're yet to run out of a thing yet. Like, there's always something to be grateful for. Even on the worst day, there's always something that you can be grateful for. Like, I found a fantastic TV series about four-year-olds in a... There's something to be grateful for. It's good. It's good TV. It's wholesome. It's uplifting. There's always... We can say... And once we understand that we are loved, that's why Paul begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your evidence be grateful to all. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." With thanksgiving. Because once we understand that we're loved, there's loads of stuff that you can be thankful for. As Tozer puts it this way, "Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. It is the one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer but richer for having made it." See, the good thing is that when we feel loved, then we start being grateful. And then as we're grateful, then we don't worry as much. That's good, isn't it? Honestly, it's true. Because the thing about worry is that it always takes over your headspace, doesn't it? You're lying awake at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about something the next day. And it eats you up inside. And the first thing that you think about when you wake up is something that you're worried about. But if we know that we're loved and we can start being grateful for the things that we have, suddenly we find we don't need to worry as much. If I tell you don't think of an elephant, yeah, you all did it, didn't you? Obviously, you all thought of an elephant. Those of you who are awake, anyway, talking over. But the thing is, like, sometimes I've heard sermons about worry before, and they're like, the Bible tells you, don't be worried. Do not be anxious about anything. So stop worrying. Useless. It's not very helpful, is it? Because they tell you, oh, don't worry. Oh, that's not helpful, is it? Just telling someone, don't worry. I know this because quite a lot of the time I tell people, oh, just don't worry about it. And they don't take that news very well. And I can't think why. Someone would just stop worrying. And apparently it's not that easy. And that's why Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but be thankful. Come to it with gratitude. Think about things that are good and pure and holy. Paul doesn't say stop worrying. Paul says fill your minds with good things. Fill your minds with things that you are grateful for. Fill your headspace with stuff that's going to do you good. Fill it with that kind of stuff, and then you will find that you don't have to worry as much. And because of Jesus, we've always got something good to think about. If we start thinking on the stuff that we have, and on the stuff as opposed to the stuff that we don't have, if we're grateful for the things that we have, then we find we don't get into this cycle of, oh, I don't have enough, therefore I'm going to start worrying about it. And then when we're grateful, I think we get a good perspective on our lives. If you take your hand, stick it in front of you like this, then and you look at your fingers, you'll notice that you can't see anything beyond your hand. You see that? You look at your hand, everything else is blurry. That's like worry, isn't it? We've got stuff in our lives, and all the time we're like this. And we can't see past it. Whatever it is, you've got worry, so you just keep looking at your fingers. But then if you do that, and then you just focus on something behind you, I don't know, like the back of the room, or this bit, the screen, when you're doing that, you notice that your hand suddenly looks less important, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's good, that, isn't it? It's like this. And then like this. It's the same. Like, but it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Like, have you got your focus on this? Your hand, the problems, the worries of your life? Are you always focused on this? Or have you got your eyes focused on something that's beyond it? And when you've got your eyes focused on something that's beyond it, you realise that this isn't quite as insurmountable as you once thought it was. So, when we get good perspective, we find that we can let go of the need to control. That we don't have to control everything, that we can let go of stuff. Okay, so, when I pray about stuff that I'm worried about, three things happen. And I'm going to talk you through these three things, because I really think it's helpful. Three things, I expect one of three things to happen. And sometimes the first thing is this perspective idea. Okay? And I'll put it this way. Sometimes I feel I'm praying to God about something I'm worried about, and I feel that God is saying to me, get over it, that's really not that important. Okay? And sometimes that is perfectly reasonable. I looked up the top 20 things people are worried about in their lives. Top 20. Number 19 is that their pet is sick. Look, if the biggest worry in your life is that your hamster has a cold, if that is the biggest worry in your life, then get on your hands and knees and thank God that you don't have any proper issues in your life to be worried about. Seriously. Because sometimes, then when we're praying to God, actually all we need is a little bit of perspective, and that really isn't that important. And if you need some perspective, turn on the news once in a while and see what's happening to people who have really got... If you're worried your hamster has got a cold, that is not a legitimate... Just stop worrying about it. It's not a big deal. The other day, I found myself worrying about what secondary school Boaz is going to go to. Secondary school. Not even... secondary school. It will be a decade until that boy goes to secondary... A decade ago, I was in secondary school. A decade ago, until he's in secondary school, and I'm worried about it. That's the kind of prayer that when I pray to God, God help me, and he's like, stop worrying about it, it is ridiculous, okay? Because sometimes, in our worry, we just need to get a bit of perspective. I'm not making this up, it's in the Bible as well. The disciples come up to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, we're really worried. Some guys over there are praying for healing in your name, but they're not in our little group. What should we do about them? And Jesus says, if they're not against me, they are for me. Or if I'm going to paraphrase Jesus, stop worrying about it. It's not your problem. Get some bigger perspective. We've got more important things to deal with it. than people who are doing good stuff but aren't using your in your friendship group. All right? Sometimes Jesus says to us, just stop it. Just stop. Get some perspective. Think about other people other than yourself. Stop worrying about it. But there are also things in our life that we are legitimately worried about that are genuine problems, that aren't just to be dismissed as actually, it's not that important. When the disciples come up to Jesus another time, they're worried because they don't have enough money to pay the temple tax. Jesus does not say to them, oh, don't worry about it, that's not important. Because if you haven't got enough money to pay your tax or your mortgage or your rent, then that is a genuinely serious problem that is right to be worried about, isn't it? Like, we can agree on that. If you can't make ends meet at the end of the month, then obviously you're going to be worried. So Jesus gives them a plan. Sometimes we get perspective. Stop worrying about that, it's ridiculous. Sometimes we get a plan. And Jesus says to them, go and get this fish and pull out the money out of his mouth, which is just a brilliant way to get the tax man off your back, if I'm my wish. I love that story. Anyway, Jesus doesn't give them perspective there. Because it's a legitimate worry, we come before God and he gives us a plan in order to deal with it. Some of you here this morning, if you have got worries about money, that's not something like, and I'm not talking about billionaires who are worried about money. I'm talking about if you're worried that you're not going to be able to keep a house or keep a roof over your head or buy food, that's a legitimate, but you need a plan, don't you? You need a budget. You need some help. That's what Jesus says to the disciples, go and do this, this and this, and then it'll be okay. Sometimes we get perspective and sometimes we get a plan. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. I remember once a friend of mine was being really bullied at work. And it was awful. It was awful. And I was so annoyed. I was so angry. And for a while I was really, it was eating me up. I was so worried about it because I was like, I'm going to storm down there and I'm going to shout at them. And I'm going to do this, this and that. They should get sued for the way blah, blah, blah. And for a long time, I couldn't get perspective because it was a genuine big deal. This wasn't something to be just be discarded. But I couldn't have a plan. There was literally nothing I could do about it. And some of us carry these worries with us. And the truth is, you just need peace. Because there's nothing that you can do about it, sadly. You can't get a plan. And for me, I just had to let go. I just had to ask for forgiveness. I just had to make peace with myself that there are things in this world that are genuine problems that I cannot deal with. I can't do anything about except pray. So I prayed. And I believe God gave me peace. And a couple of weeks later, that person handed in their resignation, which I thought was brilliant. But that wasn't my problem. That wasn't for me to control. But I prayed about it and I asked God for peace. Because when we're worried about it, sometimes, guys, we need perspective, don't we? Sometimes we just need someone to tell, seriously, stop worrying about it. It's not a problem. Where your child is going to secondary school, that is a decade away. Stop it. Sometimes, we need a plan. And we need God to give us some ideas about how you're going to actually fix this and deal with it. And stop just going around it hundreds of times. How are we going to deal with it? And sometimes, like Paul says here, present our requests to God. And don't be anxious, because God will give you his peace. And sometimes we need that peace because we're not going to get a plan. We're not going to get perspective because it is a problem. And we need his peace. When Jesus talks about his death and the disciples start getting worried, he promises that he will be with them to the end of the age. Doesn't promise it's not going to be a problem. Doesn't promise that they're not going to... He promises he's going to be with them because some of us just need his peace. So if we go back to the cycle, I hope this is helpful to us. I hope that if we can start with feeling loved and then we think about the things that we're grateful for and then we get a good perspective and then we can let go. That is a much better cycle than worrying about it, trying to control everything, realising that you can't control everything so you worry more and then you get overwhelmed and then you focus on the things that you don't have, which we all do from time to time. Look, if you're struggling with some of this stuff, I would encourage you that this week, remind yourself every day that you are loved exactly as you are. Remind yourself you're loved. Then list some things you're thankful for. And then come to God and ask him which of those three things he needs to give you. Do you need perspective and you just need to move on and forget about it because it's in the grand scheme of things, you're not going to be worrying about this in 2 months? Do you need a plan? Do you actually need, if this is really bothering you, do you actually need to have that conversation? Do you actually need to make that phone call? Do you actually need to get a budget? What is it? Do you actually need a plan? Or maybe it's something that's beyond your control. You can just pray about it, let it go, and receive God's peace. Because he is a God of peace, and that's a gift that he promises to us. I hope that's helpful for you this week. Know that you're loved. Offer some, say some things you're grateful for, and then come before God asking, expecting one of those three things. And I do hope that for all of us, we can become a group of people who have got good perspectives, who think about things that are good and honourable and true and hope-filled and pure, that we don't fill our minds with rubbish that drags us down and eats us up and wastes our time and keeps us awake at night. Because God is the God of peace. And because of Jesus, we can have something good going on in our heads. Let's pray. And if this is for you, I would encourage you to stick your hands out in front of you and receive some of this peace and perspective this morning. Father, we thank you that in your words, you tell us we can cast our burdens onto you. That your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And as we read in Isaiah, that you are the God of those who feel overwhelmed. So in Isaiah, in the Psalms. That you are the God of those who feel weighed down. And I pray this morning that you would be lifting some of the weights in our minds that we carry around with us, that keep us awake at night. God, I thank you that we are loved beyond measure. I pray that we would know that this week, that you love us. I pray that we would be a grateful people who are always looking for things to be thankful for, as opposed to things to criticise and pull down. And God, we ask that you would give us either perspective or a plan or peace or more of those things. This week we would see your perspective, that we would get your vision of what's going on in our lives, that we would fill our minds with things that bring us light and hope and peace, and we would put to death those mindsets and those things that drag us down and eat us up and keep us awake at night. We thank you that you are a God who promises peace, and we want to receive that this morning, your peace and your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.